While you're standing, would you take your Bible and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4? We all know on Mother's Day, the passage of Scripture to turn to is often Proverbs 31. That's the wisdom given for being a wise woman. I didn't realize until this week that Proverbs chapter 4 is the counterpart to that. Proverbs chapter 4 is all about the instruction of a father to his son, and it makes for a perfect Father's Day passage of Scripture. And so I'd like to read all 27 verses of Proverbs chapter 4 as we look at the topic of listening to the instruction of your father. And of course, we're thinking along the lines of our Heavenly Father, God in heaven. The word hear means listen. Hear or listen, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are thy life unto those that find them, and health to thy flesh, to all flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. May the Lord add his blessing. Father, as we come to you this time of the service, where we open the word of God, and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. May we have open ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Help us to remove far from our thoughts distractions that would keep us from listening to the Spirit of God. Encourage us with your word today. Your word is truth. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I was mentioning, I found this week this chapter to be the perfect counterpart to Proverbs chapter 31, perfect for Father's Day message, and I never looked at Proverbs chapter 4 in this way before. When I prepare a special holiday message like Father's Day or Mother's Day or 4th of July, whatever the occasion may be, I have a file in my file cabinets on each of those special days, And the first thing I do is I pull out my file. I went to my cabinet, pulled out my file on Father's Day, looked back at all the messages that I had preached on Father's Day for the last 40 years, and wanted to try to find something new, something fresh, something that I hadn't used before. And as I was flipping through that folder, a church bulletin from back in 1989 fell out in my hands. And on the cover of that church bulletin was Proverbs 4:1, just one verse, and it was in a different translation. It was Proverbs 4:1. You say here it says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." But on this church bulletin it says, "Listen to the instruction of your father and pay attention for good understanding." And I thought, that's an interesting verse. That would make a good message. So I turned to Proverbs chapter 4 in my Bible, and as I began to read, I began to see how this entire chapter supported that verse. And so I thought, well, that makes a great title. Listen to the instruction of your father. The entire chapter just is about learning to be a wise and godly man, or it can apply to ladies as well, by listening to the instruction, the teaching of the Word of God. God is our Father. And so as Solomon speaks as if he were speaking to his son or sons, God is speaking to us as well. And so three things here that I want us to see today. First of all, the father must learn to be a good instructor. First of all, he has to humble himself before God, and he has to learn what it is he needs to teach to his children. Basic principle. So the father must learn to be a good instructor. And in verse 2, Solomon, who's writing this passage of Scripture, Solomon says, "I give you good doctrine." I give you good doctrine there in verse 2. Doctrine, the word doctrine simply means instruction. I'm giving you good, solid, biblical instruction on how to live. And the most important thing that I can tell you, son, is seek for wisdom. Because you're going to find wisdom from God. And so you need to seek God for wisdom. And that's exactly what Solomon did, as you know. When God says you can ask anything you want, I'm going to give you the kingdom of your father, and anything you want, you just ask, I'll give it to you. And wise old Solomon, what did he ask for? He asked for more wisdom. He says, this is a great number of people. This is a difficult people to govern, and I'm going to need a lot of wisdom. And so God not only gave him wisdom, but he gave him treasures and wealth and blessings untold. So the wisdom, the doctrine here, the instruction, he says, I give you, my son, I give you good doctrine, truth. I give you truth because it's coming from God. You know, truth is fleeing away in our society. People don't know what's right and wrong anymore. People don't know how to make a decision or what truth is. And there's so many differences. There's so many divisions in our society today because we have one group saying, this is the right way. We need to go this direction. And this group over here says, no, this is the way. We need to go in that direction. And there's a tug of war over nearly every major issue in life. There's people on both sides of the fence, as we say, and they're tugging at each other. And what we need to do is get back to God's Word, because this is where we find absolute truth. Truth that is always right. Truth that never changes. Truth that is always applicable. And truth which will endure forever. That's absolute truth. And so we need to seek God. Keep your place in Proverbs chapter 4. Flip a couple of pages over to Proverbs chapter 8. And I'd like to read verses 6 through 11. Listen carefully. In fact, that's the first word. That word here in the Hebrew means listen. Listen now. For I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. Truth. What a powerful word. A word that we need to focus on. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Wickedness. Think about that for a moment. Wicked. There's so much wickedness in this world. There's so many things that would be classified as sin because it doesn't please God. It's contrary to the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. There's so much wickedness in our world. Wickedness should not be the part of our conversation. It should not be our words. It should be an abomination, that which makes me sick at my stomach to talk about. And all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward, nothing corrupt, evil, despicable, or perverse, filthy, or ungodly in them. My words are righteous. My words are good. My words are wholesome. My words are pleasing to God. That's the way they should be. Verse 9, they are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, God says, and not silver. Not wealth, not material possessions. The most important thing to us should be God's word. The most important thing above all other things is what God has to say about life. How we should then live is found in the word of God. And it's not in seeking after wealth. It's not, that's not the primary. That's not the most important thing, as we will see as we go on here today. Receive my instruction, God says, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Notice verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So what are we saying here? We are saying that God's wisdom is the principal thing. We're saying that the most important thing in life is to know God's way, to know God's truth, to understand the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness, godliness and ungodliness, holiness and unholiness. And the only way we can do that is to listen to the instruction of the Father. Where do we find the instruction of God the Father? In the Word of God. In the Word of God. I give you good doctrine. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. People don't have freedom in the world today. People are in bondage. They are slaves to sinfulness, wickedness, idolatry, Satan, the flesh. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, God's way, and it'll set you free. It'll make you free. And so the point of application there is very simple. Seek truth. Pursue after truth. Follow truth. Look for truth. And when we do, the Bible says we'll find it. That's a promise. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5, it says, evil men understand not judgment. In other words, men with an evil heart, men with a despicable heart, they don't know the right from wrong. They don't know which way is better. They don't know what God would have to say on the matter. One of the things we've talked about recently in our messages in the book of Colossians is that we need to carefully consider our words and our thoughts, because they reflect whether we are meditating on Scripture, whether we are listening to what God has to say or not. Evil men do not understand. They don't have the ability to know the difference between right from wrong. But they that seek the Lord, it says, they understand all things. They understand. We understand. We can look at the issues of today. We can look at abortion and know it's murder. It's ungodly. It's the taking of innocent life. That's not hard to understand. Why is it so easy for us and so difficult for others? Because we're looking at it from God's point of view. We know what God's word says about murder. We know what God's word says about the sanctity of life. We know what God's word says about the souls of little innocent boys and girls, yet unborn. Solomon says, I give you good doctrine. And then he says, my father taught me. Verses 3 and 4. He says, for I was my father's son. Tender. The idea of tender means teachable. And only beloved in the sight of my mother. He was precious. His mother loved him very much. Speaking of his father again in verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Good advice from a father. Well, the wise father again of Proverbs chapter 4 is Solomon. Undoubtedly, perhaps the wisest man who ever lived. He got his early instruction from his father, King David, a man after God's own heart. Where did David get his instruction? From God. David was a godly man, and he meditated frequently on the scriptures and meditated on the nature and the character, the attributes of God. We need to be students of God. We need to get wisdom that is needed to guide our families. We need to give it godly instruction to our children and our children's children. We do not need to get the kind of wisdom Proverbs is talking about from human parents alone. Now, we get good instruction. We get good information from godly parents because they got their information from godly parents and from the Word of God. From God, they got godly information, but we don't get that information just from parents. What I'm saying is you need more than just godly parents. You need the Word of God in your life. You need to be seeking wisdom from God Himself. The prophet Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse 23, there God says, hear, for I, God Himself, will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips, God's lips, shall be right things. And so we need to go to God. God spoke of His confidence of Abraham. Bill was talking about Abraham this morning. God spoke of His confidence of Abraham being a good parent and teaching his children godly wisdom. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, God says, for I know him, I know Abraham. I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of to him. The covenants, the promises that he made to Abraham, God says, I'm not going to have any problem keeping those promises and those covenants because I know Abraham's a good man. I know that he is going to instruct and command his children to follow the Lord as well. We should learn everything we can from and about the Lord so that we can pass a godly heritage on to the next generation. Paul told this to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. And when Jesus was challenging Peter, remember that scene after the resurrection on the shore of Galilee when the disciples were coming in from fishing and bone tired, and Jesus had fish cooking on the fire for their breakfast already and had this conversation. Peter, do you love me? Peter, are you really affectionate about me? Peter, do you really genuinely love me? And what did he tell Peter? After each of those three responses, he says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He was not talking about feeding his disciples fish. He wasn't talking about physical nutrition. He was talking about give them the word of God, feed them truth, show them the way, lead them into an understanding of who God is and what God would have you to do and know and be. And Peter certainly fulfilled that commission and became a great follower of Jesus Christ and a great scholar and a great teacher. When Paul was headed for Rome for the last stretch of his earthly ministry, he was able to say in Acts 20, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What's he saying? He says, I thank God that I have been faithful since my conversion to teach you the things that I have learned about God. And that's the way we as parents should be, as fathers, as mothers. We should be faithful to our children to teach them the things that we have learned about God and teach them to seek God on their own, to read the Bible, to study the Scripture, to honor God and obey Him by going to church and by learning all that they can and by being faithful to God all their lives. And to Timothy, Paul gave this good advice, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. And you're all familiar with that famous verse in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What is that verse saying? Does that mean if you train up a child in the way he should go, he'll always be godly, he'll always go in the direction of the Word of God? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that the things that you teach him will always be there in his mind to bring conviction, to show him the way that he should be going, to remind him that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof are the ways of death, and I need to go God's way. I need to understand more about God. And that conviction will always be there. That idea that there is a God whom I'm accountable to, I'm going to answer to him someday, will always be there to prick his heart and to encourage him to turn to the Lord when he has gone astray. So train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture, the idea of feeding the right kind of things. Like my wife, she's been putting all this Miracle Grow on the tomato plants this year. And boy, they just, every day you can see growth. We need to feed our children the right things, amen? And the right thing is the Word of God. The Word of God. We need to give it to the generation succeeding us. And bring them up in the nurture. And the admonition. And admonition has the idea of encouragement. Encouragement. We do so much unintentionally that discourages our children. I think sometimes we expect too much of them. We demand too much from them. We forget sometimes that they are children and their minds are still maturing and they don't have the 20 or 30 years training that we have on them. And so we're a little bit hard on our children, but we need to encourage. We need to encourage our children to love the Lord, to seek the Lord. David on his deathbed was very gentle with Solomon. He was very firm, but yet he was very gentle. He says, Solomon, on his dying words, Solomon, seek the Lord and seek his face continuously. Never turn from the Lord. That was admonition. That was encouragement to his son as he was about to leave this life. So number one, the father must learn to be a good instructor. He must learn from his father. He must learn from his heavenly father to be a good instructor and to give good doctrine and to teach them the right things. Secondly, the father must impart the value of good instruction. The value of good instruction. Now, it wasn't my father, my earthly father, that did this, but like Timothy, it was my mother and grandmother that instilled in me the value of God's Word and the value of having daily devotions and reading the Bible every single day. Not just being in church every time the doors were open, we did that too, but every day. Either the Bible was either read to me or I was encouraged to read it on my own every single day. And so the father must impart to his children the value of good instruction. And where do we find good instruction? The Word of God. Absolute truth. It never changes. It's always right. It'll never lead you astray. The father must impart the value of good instruction because, number one, wisdom will preserve you. Verses 5 and 6. I'm back in Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verses 5 and 6. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Boy, I have a real clear picture in my mind of things being preserved, because my grandmother and my mother, they canned. It was back before the days of a lot of freezer foods and things. We had canned goods put up on the shelf for the whole winter. I mean, green beans and peaches and beets and lima beans and you name it. We put it in jars and we put salt in there to preserve it. And we put it in the old pressure cooker and got it hot. And then we pulled those jars out of there and listened for that pop, 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 pop when those lids were sealing. And it was kept good. It was kept safe. It was kept from spoiling. That's what God's word will do for you. It will preserve you. It will keep you from spoiling. It will keep you from going bad. Amen. If you will hide God's word in your heart, it will preserve you. The word of God says so. Again, flip back to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall again preserve thee. Discretion, the ability to know right from wrong. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward or deceitful, dishonest, disgusting words, things. So, wisdom will preserve you. It'll keep you from spoiling. Paul warns the Thessalonian believers in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that Satan works with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. People who are unsaved, they don't have the word of God in them. And when you don't have the word of God in you, Satan can ruin you. Satan can deceive you. Satan can lead you down a wrong path and ruin your life. Paul is warning the unbelievers in Thessalonica of that deceivableness of Satan and telling them it's because they did not love the truth. You didn't hide God's word in your heart. You didn't grow up under the word of God. So what do we need to do? We need to be wise and fear the Lord. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The knowledge of the holy. Thank God if you have the knowledge of the holy today. Do you know God? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Have you been saved? There's a classic piece of literature, Christian literature. A.W. Tozer, many, 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 many years ago, wrote a book taken from that scripture. The title of the book is The Knowledge of the Holy. Recommended reading for every Christian. How well do you know God? It should be our daily ambition to know God more than we knew Him yesterday. To be constantly growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We never know Him enough. We can always know Him better. We can always know more about Him. Children imitate their parents. That's just a natural thing. For children to want to be like their daddy, like their mother. We do not have many children in the generation that's following us that fear God. I'm really scared for this next generation. We have a generation coming up whose parents, for the most part, did not know God. And they didn't teach them in the things of God. And we're going to soon have a generation that's our age, that's leading or bringing up another generation, a generation that is rearing a new generation with no knowledge of God. Where's that headed? It's headed for disaster. That's where it's headed. It's headed for real disaster. Because we have a generation of people, a generation of children now who are starting to bear children who do not fear God. And the reason they don't fear God is because they didn't have parents who feared God. No parent, no godly parents to imitate. To follow after the pattern that they saw. And again, Simple application. Fathers, you need to be model Christians. You need to model holiness. You need to model righteousness before your children. Why is good instruction so valuable? Because verse 7 says wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the most important thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Years ago, I did a study in the book of Proverbs, many, many years ago, before I even came to Waynesboro. We did a study through the book of Proverbs, and I learned that what wisdom is when you have knowledge, you've been given knowledge, and hopefully you got that knowledge from the right source. You get this knowledge from the Word of God. When you have knowledge, okay, there are a lot of people in the world who have a lot of knowledge. But some of those people who are brilliant and have all kinds of knowledge, they have no common sense. They don't know how to apply that knowledge. Wisdom is when you get knowledge from God, from God's Word. You get the knowledge. You get the instruction on what's right, what's holy, what's godly. And then you say, that means I need to be holy. And so wisdom is simply knowledge put into practice. That's a little definition I picked up studying through Proverbs years ago. Wisdom is simply God's knowledge put into practice. There's even Christians who have the knowledge, but they don't put it into practice. What a shame. What a shame. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And so that's why godly instruction is so valuable, because we need this wisdom. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12, it says, wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Life. That's one thing to be breathing and your heart be beating, but do you really have life? Are you really filled with life? Do you have existence, meaning of existence? Do you have a productive life? Do you have a satisfying life? Are you happy about your life? Well, if you're lacking something in this area of being filled with life, what's your understanding of God's Word? Do you have wisdom? Wisdom will promote you and bring you to a place of honor, verse 8. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. Now, everybody likes to be promoted once in a while. Everybody likes to be moving up the ladder, getting a little bit more prestige, a little bit more understanding and value as far as being able to explain to others how you got there and what it took, what kind of knowledge you needed to get to where you are. So it's good to be promoted. Well, how do you get promoted? By meditating in God's Word day and night. Joshua 1:8. By this you shall have good success. And so wisdom will promote you. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. The wise, Proverbs 3:35 says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be to the promotion of fools. And again, I mentioned this earlier, but Solomon was certainly promoted to a place of honor, because he desired wisdom and understanding. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream one night, and he says, Solomon, ask whatever you want, and I shall give it to you. And Solomon says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart, that I may discern between good and bad. Now, I'm shortening that. There's a lot of words in between all that. But basically, that's what Solomon says. Lord, give me understanding. Give me wisdom. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like unto thee before thee, neither after thee. And I also, because you have asked for wisdom, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. I have given you both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee in all thy days. Wisdom will be your crown of glory. Verse 9. Wisdom shall give thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And here's a good one. Wisdom will actually promote longevity. Did you know that? Wisdom will promote longevity. Verse 10, hear or listen, listen, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. General principle, I know, but it's a biblical principle, and it's true in many cases. We can back that up with other scriptures like Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Then lower in the chapter, verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Length of days is in her right hand and in her left hand, riches and honor. The value of godly instruction, the value of getting instruction from the Lord. A father should impress that upon his children. The value of spending time in God's Word. And finally, the father must warn of the dangers of not following good instruction. Verse 13, the lack of wisdom leads to death. Death is separation. Separation from God, it could be eternal life, it could be the loss of eternal life. Separation from God's blessing, His hand of blessing. Separation from God's leading, His guidance. Just separation from God in general, that's death. Lacking wisdom leads to death. Verse 13, take fast hold, stronghold of instruction. Let her, I like the way Solomon uses feminine pronouns to describe wisdom. I really don't have an explanation of that, but it's just, I guess it's the poetical way that this is written. Let her, let wisdom not go. Don't let go of wisdom. Keep her, for she is thy life. She is thy life. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25. Only wisdom will keep one from the path of the wicked. Verses 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked. How many of us have children that have gone in the path of the wicked? Did we not instill in them the danger of not following God's word, His instruction, of not seeking after the Lord with all their heart? It says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. The pass away doesn't mean to die. It means to go in another direction. Go away from the direction of wickedness and evil and ungodliness. Follow God. Pursue after Him. Seek His will. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean into your own understanding. Acknowledge Him. And so the path of the wicked is also a path of darkness. We live in a very dark world because it's sinful and corrupt. And that is our own making, the making of ungodly people who would not go in God's way and follow His wisdom. Verses 14 and 15, enter not into the path of wicked men. Again, go away from it. The path of darkness, I'm sorry, verses 18 and 19, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. If you are in a totally pitch black room and you fall over something, you don't know what you fell over. It could have been a table, it could have been a chair, it could have been a dead body for all you know. Isn't it nice to know if I'm going to fall over something, I know what I'm falling over? If you are walking in the light as He is in the light and you're following God, obeying God, you know if you stumble, you know what you stumbled over. You can see it. And you can redirect your path and you can correct the thing that caused you to stumble in the first place. But if you're walking in darkness and you don't have God's word in your heart and you're not listening to godly instruction, the importance And the dangers of going in the other direction are severe. And then I call verses 20 through 27 simply the final words of wisdom. If you study this chapter a little bit, you'll find that those verses simply summarize everything we've just said. Let me just read them again. We read them earlier. Verses 20 to 27. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. If a parent were to come to me and say, what's some good advice I can give to my child? I've got a teenager growing up. I've got a young daughter or a young son getting ready to go out into the world. What would be some good advice? Right there it is, folks. Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. Beautiful advice. You can't get any better than that. When I read those words, it reminded me of something that I found years ago. It was also in my Father's Day folder. 10 Commandments for Godly Fathers. A Christian Father's 10 Commandments. And I'll just close this morning by sharing those with you. For what it's worth, you can think upon these things for a few moments. 10 Commandments for Christian Fathers. Thou shalt hold no other group more important than the family unit in all thy ways, being faithful to it. Nothing should be more important than your family. Thou shalt teach thy sons and daughters to love, respect, and obey their parents. Thou shalt be a loving and considerate husband. Thou shalt not speak in a manner unbecoming a Christian gentleman. Thou shalt make Sunday a day set aside for God and worship as a family. Thou shalt provide for thy family, spiritually and physically. Thou shalt promote and lead family worship in your home. Thou shalt be honest in all thy dealings. Thou shalt teach thy children to love, fear, and obey God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thou shalt be the head of thy household while ruling it with love. Father, we thank you for this Father's Day and the instruction of Solomon to his son is like the instruction of God to every one of us men as parents. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to correct our paths where we have gone astray. I pray that you would help us to follow in the right path. I pray that you would help us to have wisdom to apply this knowledge to our life and do the right thing. We thank you for being gracious to us. None of us are perfect. We are human fathers. None of us have been perfect fathers. None of us will ever be perfect fathers in this life. So I pray for mercy and grace as we rear children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. May we realize the awesome responsibility of getting our wisdom from you and you alone. From passing that wisdom on to our children and children's children with instruction on how to follow it, how to obey it, and then to warn them of the danger of going away from it and going astray. May we be faithful in that. Lord, we also pray that if there would be someone here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who's never been saved, may they realize that you are God, our Father, and that you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, that one person or two or three today would understand that by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, I can begin a journey today of knowing God and having Him live in my heart and learning to trust and obey Him and receive the blessings that He has in store for me. Father, I pray for believers today that we will be faithful to Your Word, to study it, to love it, and to obey it. In Jesus' name, amen.